Father, I thank you for all your children that are here today and those that may join later, even those that may listen in later. We give you praise and glory because you love us unconditionally. And your love for us is stronger than any situation that we may face. Therefore, Lord, we honor you and praise you this morning. We thank you for you have commissioned the blessing of the Lord for us. You commission the dew of heaven upon every one of us. And so we're going to declare your word this morning, and so shall it be. Again, Lord, we declare it forth today that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And let every heart rejoice to hear the word of the Lord today, as it is written, when men are cast down, thou shalt say, there is a lifting up. Let there be a lifting up even today. The Lord be our glory and the lifter up of our heads, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. There's a lot of stuff going on all around the world, even here in the United States, which people typically think off as the breadbasket of the world, but even at this time, the Lord is showing us that only God's economy can be sustained. The economy of man, you know, because of the imperfections of man, may fall apart at different times. And we see that it's falling apart here in the United States. But we're going to be praying for those who are affected. Government shutdown now has been going on for over 6 weeks or so. And they say it's the longest in history. And we don't know if there's any end in sight. But we're going to pray and uphold the people of God, both by prayer and by the word of God. One scripture that immediately comes to mind today, and there's a few that I want to share with us, is what the scripture says in Philippians 4 and 19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we see right away that the scripture promises God to supply our needs according to his own riches, not according to the economy, not according to our job, not according to what we have or what we don't have, but it'll be according to his own riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to share a few scriptures for you today, with you today, and I want to declare the dew of heaven and the blessing of the Lord upon everybody. It'll be more like a prayer, prophetic declaration for you and your household and your loved ones. Praise God. And if you can receive it, well, we'll see what the Lord will do for us. You know, there are many scriptures throughout the Bible that confer, not just promise the blessing on us, but actually confer the blessing on us, on the children of God. You know, we're going to see some stories in the Bible, quick stories, of how God promised blessings and actually he overseed it to make sure, oversaw it to make sure that it actually came to pass in the lives of those to whom it was promised. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, we're talking about the blessing of the Lord now, this portion of it. I'll be talking about the dew of heaven and the blessing of the Lord interchangeably. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, we want to see something that the Lord promised, what he spake, and how he brought it to pass. Praise the Lord. Concerning the life of Abraham, it says in Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 12. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Praise the Lord. That's a quick summary of something that happened, you know, to Abraham. Let's go on to others that come after Abraham. You know, it says, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, not just Abraham now, but the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel. That means you can't change it, you can't disannul it. He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong consolation. Those of us who have fled to take refuge upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, wherein the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, who was made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So that's one of our texts this morning. And let's take a look at it. When God made promise to Abraham, God's promises were told they are yea and amen in Christ. I mean, God doesn't need to swear anything when he makes a promise. He just, you know, needs to say it, because he has the capacity, you know, to watch over his promise. Or promises, and make sure, you know, they come to pass. The promises of God, we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, are in Christ, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So if God promised something, we are assured that it is going to be like he said. And wherefore then was it necessary for God to confirm it with an oath? Now this scripture says, generally people swear, you know, to erase any doubt. And people say something, well, when there's any strife about any subject, and one party swears, then, you know, it looks like that may be the end of that strife, is what the scripture is saying. They try to use an oath to end any strife about anything, because they believe that the oath is stronger than just the word. Well, God's word is as strong as any oath. God doesn't need to swear anything, because God's word is himself. But if he goes beyond and actually swears, then you can see the gravity of the situation that God is trying to convey, or the essence of that promise that he is trying to confer upon the people. In the case of Abraham, the Bible says that God confirmed it with an oath. And says, surely blessing will I bless thee. Now God also looking when he wanted to make that oath to swear by someone greater than himself, because that's what people do. When they make an oath, they swear by somebody greater than himself, or swear by heaven, or swear by the temple, or swear by the altar, or this and that. You know, because they think that that will make it more believable, what they are saying. You know, God also said, okay, let me find someone greater than myself that I can swear by, or something. But he could find nothing. Hallelujah. So he swore by himself. And he said, surely, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. Now, that blessing of Abraham, there's a song that people sing. Said, you know, blessings of Abraham are mine. Well, that blessing that God put upon Abraham, this scripture that we just read said, it is for the heirs of promise. It wasn't just for Abraham. It started off with Abraham, you know, but it was for all the heirs of promise. And that word heirs is plural. So it wasn't just for Abraham alone. And we ourselves can receive the same promise. Now, what is this particular promise? I mean, hundreds of promises in the scriptures. But this particular one that I want to just share on today says, bless in blessing, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply. So what is that blessing? What might that blessing look like? You know, this blessing has passed on to all of us, the scripture tells us, by faith. We see that in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 14. We read about the inheritance that passed upon even the Gentiles from Abraham through Jesus Christ. He says that the blessing of Abraham, well, the blessing that God put upon Abraham, might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, or any other thing that God promised. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he added no sorrow to it. And what a wonderful confirmation of the grace of God when he puts a blessing upon something or someone. It's not a, you know, situation in which it will bring sorrow. It wouldn't. You know, and these promises give us ammunition to go back to God. If you believe you're in a situation where God promised you a blessing and it looks like it's turning into sorrow or hardship, well, you can turn around and use this scripture in your prayer, you know, to say, well, the Lord promised me this blessing. I have received it and it will bring no sorrow with it. That's right. Because that's the scripture in Proverbs 10 and 22. So, what is this blessing, though, that God was talking about that can make us rich and no sorrow? Well, for one thing, make rich means complete in him. That's right. Complete in him, that means not just finances. It includes your finances, your health, the good things of life. It includes salvation, it includes stability and comfort and hope in Christ. I mean, everything. It's everything. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So complete in him. Whatever it is that the, you know, each person needs in their life, they can find it through Christ. The effects of the blessing are powerful. in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first 14 verses or so talks about the effects of these blessings. You know, people call them the blessings. Well, there's already a blessing put upon us if we obey his voice, but here are the effects of it. This is what you will reap, you know, and despite what might be going on around you, we got to latch on to the word of God. That's the reason for today's admonition and exhortation. Conditions are often attached to promises. And in this Deuteronomy 28, the conditions are spelled out as follows. It shall come to pass, it says, if, whenever time we say if, well, that's a condition. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, well, that's the condition. You know, so if we make up our minds to hearken to the voice of the Lord, to do whatever he says in the word and whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting us, you know, according to the scriptures, then he said that the Lord thy God will set thee on high, you know, above all the nations. And we know he was talking to Israel at the time, but hey, these blessings are on us. And all these blessings shall come upon thee. So that personalizes it to one person. And overtake thee if that thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Well, let's look at some of the effects of these blessings. Well, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. You can bring that to your own personal life. Whether you are in the city, whether you are in the field, you know, whether you are in, you know, main cities with a hustle and bustle, or whether you are in remote places, it doesn't matter. He said, the blessing shall be upon you. Furthermore, he said, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Well, these people are mostly shepherds. Now, if you are not a shepherd, same thing. You know, the Lord confers the same blessings upon the works of your hands, whatever the works of your hands might be. For shepherds and so forth, they have flocks and they have kine and all that, and they have cattle. You know, for you, you may be whatever else. It doesn't really matter. It's all the same. By extension, claim the same promises for whatsoever we are doing, and whatsoever our hands find doing, wherever we are with the Lord. And here is a scripture that, you know, stretches that to everything. In the book of Psalm 90, we read from verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. So, you and your children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. You know, whether you're dealing with flock or kine, or you're dealing with anything. You know, this scripture covers it all. The work of our hands. It doesn't matter what it is. The Bible says the Lord will establish it upon you. He will establish it indeed. Praise the Lord. So those promises in Deuteronomy 28, they're not only for, you know, the fruit of the kine and the fruit cattle and flocks, really for everything that we may be involved in. Now let's read further. It says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. What does that mean? Well, basket is what's on your table right now. Store is for later. That means, you know, basket is what you're going to eat out of right now. But store is what you need later on. So what you need now and what you need later, you know, God will bless it. For right now, God will give you enough blessing for you to be satisfied. And for later, he made provision that you will be satisfied. So your bread basket is right now. Your store is later. I mean future. But either way, the blessing is upon both. Both your present and even your future. Blessed shall thou be when you come in, and blessed shall thou be when you go out. Now, all of this because you have determined in your heart to follow the Lord and to do his commandments, according as you see them in the scriptures and what the Holy Spirit might tell you. A lot of blessings. He said, even concerning situations around you, even things that you cannot control, the Lord shall cause your enemies. Sometimes we can't control the actions of our enemies. In fact, most times you can't. You know, you can't control those things. You can only control your own reactions. Even things that you cannot control, say the Lord shall cause even your enemies to rise up against you, you know, be smitten before thy face. And you're not even the one praying that. It's the Lord that's causing it. Now, they come out against you one way, God will scatter them seven different ways. Confusion. They won't be able to put their hand on it, but God will confuse them. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in your storehouses. Again, that's preparation for even the future. Praise God. And all that thou settest thy hand unto. That's right. Anything. We read that already in Psalm 90. The work of your hands. Anything that you put your hand upon, Lord will bless you. Now, I want you to begin to align yourself with this promise. If that these things are not the case with you right now, well, they need to be. And that's going to be my declaration before this room is over today. You know, and it says, all that you set a hand to do, Lord will bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, so many people migrated from your country to the United States because, you know, there was a promise of a better life. It seemed like, you know, the land of the brave, the home of the free, or the land of the free and the home of the brave, American dream, and all these things. But the whole thing is falling apart. Times and policies are changing. Economy is upside down. Everything is falling apart. In jeopardy even sometimes of your life every day. But that's what the Lord said. Enemy cannot dispossess you from the blessing, the possession, and the inheritance of the Lord. Take note of that. Enemy can't do it. Now, that's a prophetic declaration for you today. The Lord said he will bless you in that land. Glory to God. And he will bless you in this land. Now, it may not look like it now, but you are going to use the scriptures and the word of God. Remember, the word of God carries the power to create change. Yeah, so I'm going to use these scriptures to create the change that we need in our lives. That's right. That's why I'm reading the scriptures. The Lord said, he'll bless you and establish you to be a holy people unto himself. The lessons that we are currently on in the book of Romans says the Lord is purifying and washing the church, make us holy without spot and without wrinkle, so that he may present it as a glorious church to himself. So it also says, the Lord will establish you and holy people unto himself, even as he has sworn unto thee, especially if that thou will keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth, that you see. You know, people who surround you will see it, that you are called by the name of the Lord. The Lord will put the terror of you upon anyone that will even try to conjure evil in their mind against you. The Lord put terror in their hearts. The Lord shall make thee to be plenteous in goods, not just barely enough, but plenteous. You know, so we are going to invoke these promises upon people today. Plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, fruit of your kind, fruit of thy ground, and so on. You may not be a tiller of the ground. You may be an entrepreneur and other things. So you may even be working for someone. It doesn't matter. Whatever. And to bless it in the land which the Lord has taken you to give it to you. Praise God. Remember, in Psalm 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The people and all that dwell in it. You know, the whole earth is the Lord's. And again, you know, it says in the book of Psalm, you know, 92, it talks about, you know, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, well, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Well, what is the courts of our God? Well, let's read it. Psalm 92 and verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Well, that's the world. Those are his courts. Wherever you are, in the courts of the Lord, in the world, you shall flourish. You will not diminish. Praise the Lord. And you will have more than enough. Even if you can't explain how it's going to be, even if you don't understand how it's the Lord's going to do it, well, that's not your concern. Your concern is to believe the word of God and the Lord will bring it to pass. Flourish. Now, flourish is more than just barely surviving. Flourish means thriving. You can thrive and not just survive. Now, people find it hard enough to survive, let alone thrive. Well, you got to use the word of God to create the change that you need. This was what God did in the beginning. He saw everything was chaotic. Darkness everywhere. Everything just did not align to what he wanted. And he began to use his word to affect the change that he wanted to see. Let there be light, he said. And let there be these other things. You know, let the waters be gathered together over on this side and that side. Let the dry land appear. And let this happen. And let this happen. And let's began to use his word to create the change, to affect to effect the change that he wanted to see. And so the reason for sharing these promises with you today is that we're going to use these promises to effect the change that we want to see, even if it doesn't look like that right now. Praise the Lord. So the courts of our God is everywhere. The Lord owns everything all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that means maybe in America, you may be in Nigeria, you may be in Cameroon, you may be in Canada, you may be in the UK, you may be anywhere. Doesn't matter. It's all the courts of our God. You know, you will flourish in the courts of our God because you are planted in the house of the Lord. These are solid promises from God. Now back to Deuteronomy 28. Let me finish reading it up. Just the first 14 or so verses of that chapter carry all these tremendous blessings that God has given us. You know, the Lord, every place where you go, and he says, the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain upon thy land. I'm going to be talking about the dew of heaven in a bit. Yeah, the Lord will bring that upon you. And he will bring to bless the work of your hand, whatever work that you are into. You know, thou shalt be a lender and not a borrower. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. If that you will hearken to the commandments of the Lord. So hearkening to the commandments of the Lord to do his bidding has many effects of blessings. The blessing that God has put out there will begin to become a reality when we hearken to the voice of the Lord our God. Now, God's word is forever settled in heaven. You know, we are told that in Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, that part we know. The part that we need is let it also be settled in your heart. That what he said he will do, he will do. Hallelujah. And then you use that word, you know, put your faith in it and see what the Lord's going to do. Praise God. Now, God has certain, God's a God of principle. Everything about him is principled. Now, call the ordinances of heaven, principles. And so, if we don't follow the principles, well, we might suffer a great deal. It's not because, you know, God is not aware of what we're going through. It's because he put the principles out there. But if you know the principles, you align yourself with those things, even when you begin to have difficulties, you can bring change to your situation. By aligning yourself with principles of the Word of God and by using the Word to create the change that you would like to see. I'm stressing this because it's so important. Once you learn this, you use it for yourself every day. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, the Lord's Word is settled forever in heaven. Let it also, you know, be settled in your heart. Let these things that we are reading in Deuteronomy 28, let them be settled in your heart. For you and for your children. You know, praise the Lord. So, here is a few more things for you to understand. He said, you will be head, you will not be tail, you be above, you not be beneath. If you hearken to the commandments of the Lord to do them, you will not turn aside unto any of these words. You will not go to the right or to the left. And you will not go after other imaginations or any other gods or any other doctrine or false doctrine that is not the doctrine of Christ. But God, he will perform his word. Hallelujah. In your life. The blessing of the Lord will be with you and with your children, your seed after them. Psalmist said, from the time that I was young till now that I'm a bit older, I've never seen the righteous forsaking nor his seed begging bread. Well, if it looks like your children are struggling, you got to use this word. And he promised this. In Psalm 115 and verse 14 and 15. The Lord shall increase you more and more. You and your children. Hallelujah. And even their children. Because if your children believe this, then the same thing applies to them. It means they and their children. And if those third generation believe it as well, it means they and their children after them. So this word is eternal. You know, it's a blessing. It's called generational blessing. That's right. If you believe it, it comes upon you it comes upon your children. If they believe it, it comes upon them and it goes upon their children, and so on. The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. You are the blessed. Remember, I'm talking about the blessing of the Lord. You are the blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, where are we going to be blessed? Is it when we get to heaven? Because, you know, sometimes we have this false teaching that, you know, all the, you know, because the Bible said, Lord, wipe away your sorrows and your tears and so forth. And just have this false teaching that we should just keep on going and suffering everything while we are here. And then when we get to heaven, somehow, you know, Lord, wipe everything away. Well, that is true. But also, remember this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says, ye yourselves know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that though, you know, he was the possessor of all things, pretty much, he gave that up, you know, that for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And these promises are for us on earth. Let's go back to Psalm 15 and read the next 115 and read the next verse. When he says that ye are the blessed of the Lord, but where? Well, is it because he was talking about the Lord who made heaven and earth? But right after that, the next verse will give you a clue of where you enjoy those blessings. It's already settled in heaven, but why we are on earth? You know, we need to effect a change with his word. Now, he said in verse 16 of Psalm 115, the heaven, even the heavens, yeah, belong to the Lord. You know, so, you know, it's what he settled there and all of that. That's cool. But the earth has he given unto us. So even while we are here, he's giving it to the children of men, you know, while we are here, that, you know, the Lord's blessings will be upon us even now. Now, we are not pursuing blessings. Moses said, these blessings will overtake you. Just because we're not pursuing doesn't mean we shouldn't be open to receive them. We're not pursuing, we only pursue the Lord. We follow the Lord with all of our heart. Why not? But those that pursue these blessings, the Bible says, many snares will be for them. You know, this that will be rich. It'll fall into many snares. And that's not our portion. That's not what we're talking about. We are not to pursue these things. These things will overtake you. But if the enemy is blocking these things from coming to you, then you need to use the word of the Lord to war a good warfare. You know, so, you know, preaching of the word of God must always be balanced. So that is it. Balancing it. Our heart is not set on these things. Even when we are going through hardship, we must endure it. According to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. We must endure hardship. We don't look for hardship, but if it comes, we must endure it. However, we also know the things that are freely given us of God. And you must use the word of God to make sure that those things are coming your way. Because the devil is a trickster. And he's a double crosser also. He will try to double cross you to say, well, you know, we'll bring some scriptures. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We just suffer through it all. Those words are the scriptures. However, the devil will try to twist them up to keep you in bondage and keep you in, you know, without realizing what God has given to you. But to you, once you know the word of God, begin to use the word of God. This is the blessing that God promised me. Especially because I am keeping his word by his grace. And these blessings will come your way. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we get all these blessings that he has talked about? We've already covered them. He called it keeping the word of the Lord. There are some other blessings that I want to share with us today. The power that God gives us to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. He said, well, you know, you will remember the Lord thy God, because it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, it's not exactly the wealth that God is saying he gave to you, but he give you the power to get the wealth. Think of it this way. God will not, you know, I mean, God didn't make any furniture, right? God never makes furniture, but he makes timber and wood, and he gives people the skills to, you know, architect them, blend them, engineer them into furniture. God didn't create any furniture. You know, give you skills to do it. God didn't create any cars, but he gives people the skills to use all the stuff that God has created to make these things. You know, so it's like when God told Noah to build the ark, God didn't build the ark. God just showed him where to find the tools that he needed to build the ark. And God gave him the skill to do it. But he's the one that built the ark, not God. But God enabled him and showed him where to do it and how to do it. So when God says he will give you the power to get wealth, it may not be necessarily that the wealth will just fall down into your laps. No, it does mean that God will give you inspiration of the Almighty. The Lord will give you understanding. You know what you need to do. He'll give you strategy. Hallelujah. Now, these things are important. And you find out, well, my goodness, even while you are sleeping, you see the instruction in your mind. You wake up, the light bulb has gone on. My great ideas. A lot of people that get great ideas, they don't give all the glory to God many times, most people. But these things come from God. You know, the power for witty inventions comes from God. The power to do things, you know, it comes from God. But people don't always give the credit to God. But the Lord will give you the power to get wealth. That means he will inspire you, show you how to do it. You know, he said almost the same thing in a different way in Isaiah 48 and verse 17. This is the way he says it in that place. He said, God's going to teach you. Hallelujah. He said, thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth you how to make profit. That's right. And leadeth you by the way that you should go. So God's going to teach you. That's all part of the blessing. We'll show you how to do it. We'll teach you. You know, give you power, empowerment. You empower your mind. Yeah? So don't look for any blessing to fall into your lap, but look for inspiration to come into your mind. That's right. Inspiration of the Almighty. That's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Job 32 and verse 8. It will give you understanding. Give you instruction, and you find out that, you know, little by little, instruction of the Lord will be changing your situation. Praise the Lord. I see some other things, a lot of promises that God gives in this book of Deuteronomy. It's a great promises that we can read and apply for ourselves. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord actually wants it to be well with us. And the Lord laments, you know, when our heart is away from his ways. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, he said, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Why? That it may be well with them and with their children forever. It's always a package for you and your children. You know, the righteousness, your righteousness brings blessing upon your children automatically. Now, it's upon them though to keep it. they themselves are walking the Lord's ways. But by being your children, they are automatically conferred certain blessings. They're called generational blessings. Now, people like to talk about generational curses. Well, I like to talk about generational blessings. Come to mind. We've taught it multiple times on this platform. Those things come to you and your children. But they have the responsibility to also walk with the Lord. Or they may lose it, but it'll come upon them because they are your children. The seed of the righteous are blessed. Seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Many promises for the righteous and their seed. Now, these things come to you because that you are following the Lord. Let's read verse 32 of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You will not turn aside to the right or the left. You shall walk in the ways of the Lord as he hath commanded you. Why? So that you may live and that it may be well with you. You know, as long as you live, and that you may prolong your days, the land which you shall possess. You know, all these blessings will come upon you because you keep in the charge of the Lord. You know, same thing, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Many, many times Moses exhorted them, you know, with these scriptures. I mean, these commandments, you know, for them to keep the Lord's charge. You shall diligently, he said in Deuteronomy 6 and 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. You shall keep his testimonies and his statutes, which he commanded you. And you will do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Why? That he may be well with you. And that you may go to in and out to possess that good thing which the Lord promised unto you. You know? And the Lord will even cast out your enemies from before you. So, but all of this is prefaced upon the us keeping his commandments. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, the Lord brings out the same thing. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous. In times like this, you need to be strong and very courageous. And you do make sure to observe to do according to all that the Lord commanded thee. Yeah, it says here the law, which is Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded thee. But it's for us, it's more than Moses. It's everything. And the Lord, Moses was all that Joshua had. We have everything today. We have Moses. We have all the prophets. We have the apostles that have written these epistles to us. You know, so we have a lot beyond Moses. You know, so if you keep all those things and you turn not to it from the left or the right, you say, well, you may, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That's right. And here's another one. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. When you are meditating upon it in your heart, you are speaking it with your mouth. That's how you do it. You meditate upon it. You speak it. You observe to do all that he has commanded you. And by doing so, you will make your way prosperous. Not just, you know, barely surviving, but you make your way prosperous. It's a consistent thing, though. It's not you do it one day, you sit back and say, I make my way prosperous. No, it's a consistent way of life. You're consistently meditating on the word of God, consistently speaking what God speaks, you're doing what he commands to do by the grace of the Lord, and it'll be well with you. You make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. And these are the promises. And say, well, have I not commanded you? You know, be of good courage. Be not dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest. These are powerful promises that we face from day to day. I mean, that God has given us from day to day in the face of what we are dealing with. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. You know, blessed is the man whosoever, man or woman, blessed is that person, you know, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, we don't need to follow the ways of the world, you know, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I don't need to, you know, follow their ways, nor sit in the seat of discomfort. Don't be found among them. But let your delight be in the law of the Lord. And if you're in his law, you meditate day and night, well, he shall make you like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. I bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. Whatever he doeth shall prosper. Leaf in his season means there is no dry season for this tree, because it's planted by the rivers of living water. There's no fall season where all his leaves are falling away and all the branches and everything dried up. No. He's connected to the source, living water, and it's evergreen all year round. He's never really out of season, you know. And Jesus showed us those kind of lessons. You know, it didn't matter whether the fig tree said, you know, I'm not in season yet. Jesus said, no, it should be producing, you know. So the fig tree lesson also, you know, can show us many things. We should not really be out of season. But even when you are out of season, praise the Lord, you know, the Lord is still able to make more than ends meet for you. He's still able to supply all your needs. Now, let me quickly talk about in season and out of season. You know, what the Lord commands us to do, if we are doing it faithfully, you know, sometimes you may still look like you are out of season, even though you are doing these things that the Lord commands you to do. The Lord said, blessed is the one that feareth the Lord, Psalm 112, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the righteous shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever. All these things. Psalm 112. But yet, you may be doing all these things, and you may be struggling, because there are some forces, you know, like maybe national economy. If things go south, like here in the United States, it's going to affect everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It's going to affect everybody in one way or another. A lot of people, you know, and the United States is criminal. There are countries that have been like this for a long time. People in Nigeria have been suffering this thing forever, that Nigeria, that the United States is just screaming about now, you know. But yet, the children of God have been resilient, you know. So, you know, God's allowing the U.S. to have a taste, you know, of what other people elsewhere have been suffering for a long time. But you say, well, I'm doing the right thing. I'm keeping the way of the Lord. I'm going to the house of the Lord, being planted. You know, I'm following his ways. And yet, I sit in darkness. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. You must use the word of God to create change in your situation. Yeah, that's why I bring this encouragement today, that yes, we understand what people are going through, you know, and whenever you are going through, you must resort to the word of God. That's where the power lies. It lies in the word of God. And if you understand the ordinances of heaven, God asked Job, do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Job chapter 38, verse 33. Can you, you know, bring their dominion to pass and effect things upon the earth? Well, absolutely. You know, that scripture tells us that things that happen upon the earth be controlled from the heavens. You may not have power to change anything physically. You know, I mean, you cannot suddenly cause the Congress to sit and pass the appropriation bill. You can't do it. You don't have the power in the natural to do it. Well, you go to the heavens. That's right. You look for the ordinances of heaven that can change that particular situation. That's where you go. You can't go to Congress and try to make anything happen. You could. You send a note to your congressman and all of that. And people should be doing that. But it may or may not, you know, affect the change quickly enough. But along with whatever you are doing in the natural, you can go supernaturally. You go up the ladder. You know, sometimes when we say, you know, like on the job, you say, well, you escalate, you take it up the ladder. If you're not satisfied with the service at this level, you ask for their manager or you ask for their supervisor, you escalate, you know. And on my job, we have chains of escalation all the time. People try to use it to get an advantage. And somebody's supposed to be doing something for them. They're not getting it. They escalate. They go above their head. You know, escalate to their manager or whatever. Well, this is how we escalate. We go to the ordinances of heaven. Escalate above the level of the situation that you are in. You got to escalate. You take it a notch higher. You know, you go above and not beneath. Can't deal with them in the beneath. Beneath is where chickens are roosting. You go to the height of the eagles. That's right. You got to go up. Do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Can you make them bring their dominion upon the earth? Well, if you understand it, you know, and you know that that's how you can make change in the heavens. And where's the heaven? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heaven. That's the instrument that works in heaven. It's God's word. Settle there. Use that word and make it to effect change upon the earth in your life. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's what we are talking about. Now, the blessing of the Lord is set to overtake you. Not you are pursuing the thing. It's pursuing you. That's why I say it will overtake you. You know, and goodness and mercy shall follow you. You know, these things will pursue you when you are pursuing the Lord. You set your sights on the Lord and all these other things. Jesus spent a whole chapter of Matthew chapter 6 talking about these things. He said, look, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. So you should not be pursuing, what shall I eat? What shall I wear? Where shall I be clothed? This and this and this. How do I pay my rent? These are things that we are faced with. There's no question. But Jesus said, your heavenly Father, because he's always trying to point them to that relationship. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Well, if your heavenly Father knows that you have needs of these things, and if your heavenly Father is capable. Now, earthly fathers may know the needs of their children, but earthly fathers are not always capable of providing everything that their children need, not only need, but even sometimes the children want. You know, but God has the capacity and then some. You know, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above. You know, so if it's your heavenly Father has the capacity to do these things, well, think of it as in the natural. Jesus said, you who are fathers in the natural, you know how to give good gifts to your children. I mean, if your child will ask you for bread, will you give him stone for bread? He said no. If he ask you for egg, will you give him a scorpion? Or if he ask you for fish, will you give him a snake instead? No. You know, so what? You, who by nature are evil, know how to do good things for your children. How much more your heavenly Father? You know, so, another, you know, your heavenly Father does not only have the desire to do things for his, good things for his children. You know, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Thoughts of good, thoughts of peace, and never of evil. Because I want to give you the expected and the thing you are believing God for. You know, he not only has the desire to do you good, he has the capacity to do it. Now, that's the difference between him and us. I mean, I have the desire to do good things all the time for my children and grandchildren. I may or may not be able to do it, but I have the desire. But God not only has the desire, he has the capacity to do it. So, if that is the case, then if you understand that, then we don't need to be crying and fasting for our needs. We just need to understand the ordinances. You can be fasting and praying for salvation of your family, for deliverance, for these things and so on. But for our basic needs, like, you know, food on the table, I mean, my children never needed to beg me for bread. You know, they may plead with me for some extra things, which they want to enjoy, but not for their food. You know, I already know they must eat. Yeah, so, you know, that's automatic. You know, I got to do everything I can to make sure I put food on the table. That's what we do. So, God also, not only does he know your needs, has the capacity to meet all those needs. Yeah, so Jesus said, well, why do you stress yourself over these things? You know, why don't you trust the Lord? He said, sparrows are so cheap. You buy two, get one free. Jesus said that. Yeah, are they not, one sparrow not so for one farthing and, you know, two for this and so forth. It's like, buy two, get one free. They're that cheap. That's the language we use these days. But yet your Father takes care of them. Take care of you. Okay. Now let me talk about how he does it. From his own perspective and how we are seeing it from the outside. We call it the dew of heaven. So this is this message today is in two parts. Showing you all the blessings that God will bring your way. And I want to show you the dew of heaven. The dew of heaven is so important, you know, in things that we do. You know, it's like even, you know, we talk about the farming season, you know. Farming and crop and season of harvest and all of these things. The farmer must do their part. They got to till the ground, you know, do all of these things, do their work, you know, so break up the fallow ground, plant the seed, wet it, do all these things. Throughout all the planting season and the work season, they must do all of that. But in addition to that, or I should say, and in addition to that, they must rely on the dew of heaven or rain, but not too much rain, you know. So if there's too much rain, it would destroy everything, you know. So, you know, they do everything they can, but if they don't get that extra assistance from heaven, they're going to have a very, very poor harvest season. So they must do what they need to do. You know, some of you have been here when I preached on the lessons of the three seasons, the dew, the dew, and the dew. You might look it up. I think I'll post it later on. It'll be a good one for you to listen to again. Dew, D-O, is when you are doing your part, right? You know, you must do your part, and in dew season, D-U-E, Lord will bless you. But to bring that blessing to you, the dew of heaven, D-E-W, must come. So we have three seasons. The dew season, where you're doing your part. The dew season, where the dew of heaven is falling upon you to bring forth a blessing in your dew season. When the time is ripe. Times of refreshing, D-U-E. So there's D-O, D-E-W, and D-U-E. But I want to talk about D-E-W today. D-E-W, which is the dew of heaven. All these dew, they all kind of sound the same. But I want to talk about the dew of heaven. It is, you know, the blessing that God puts upon your efforts. It's the favor of God upon your efforts. That's the one I want to talk about today. In the book of Genesis 27 and verse 28, we see the introduction of this concept. Yeah. And since then, people have used it. They've used it in blessing. They've used it in prayer. They've used it, you know, however you use it. Yeah. It's a prayer blessing here. You say, therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven. You know, you can read that in Genesis 27 and 28. And the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine, and all of these things. The dew of heaven is necessary to bring forth the fatness of the earth. The dew of heaven is necessary to bring forth plenty of corn and all these things. So the dew of heaven, you know, will be upon you. I'm going to pray that for you today. Now, it's also called, I also call it favor from the Lord. Favor is preferential treatment, so to speak. In Psalm 44, and verse 3, we are told that these people got not the land in possession by their own sword. I mean, they're trying. They have to fight, but it wasn't just the fact that they went out to fight that got them the victory. It was because the Lord was with them. And you can go and fight and be smitten before your enemies. But they had to fight, but it wasn't just their arm that saved them, he said. It wasn't their right hand. It wasn't their arm, but it was the light of God's countenance. Because thou hadst a favor unto them. That's what I call the dew of heaven. It's God's favor. You know, yes, you must do your part. Like you must go out and fight and do all these things. You know, do the do. You have to do the do. Wait for the dew season. But it's going to be the dew of heaven that's going to make the difference. You know, so when we pray and say, Lord, give you the dew of heaven, it's a powerful prayer. I'm going to be praying it for you today. You know, and Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 tells you that, look, it is not by power and it is not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. There's a time that God calls for, especially in troublous times like this. You know, I call it a time of refreshing. We need a time of refreshing, especially when things are so hard all the way around. I mean, we need the time for God to favor his people. There's a proverb in my Yoruba language, basically says something like, no matter how the thing is scarce, you know, there is a type of meal we call pounded yam. And you have to have this big, you know, carved out pot to pound the yam and so forth. They have machines for doing those things now, you know. But it says, instead of, you know, using that big pot, that big thing to pound the yam, even if you are doing it in something so small, like a leaf. You know, instead of cooking a pot, even if you are cooking in a peanut shell, you know, I mean, just showing you the contrast, you know, he said, look, the children of God will still be satisfied. You know, you'll satisfy your soul in famine. That's what the proverb says. No matter the circumstances around, there will be some people that will flourish. You know, and some of the children of the world have actually learned the secret of flourishing at the expense of people's pain. And some people that take advantage of the situation and flourish. Well, that's not, we don't need to do that, but God will give us the grace to flourish even in spite of difficulties that are on the ground, you know. And when things are even looking horrible, The dew of heaven can change that situation. Job chapter 8 verse 7. It talks about, you know, you may start out little, right? But the latter end will greatly increase. Well, it is the grace, it is the dew of heaven that will bring that increase. When you start out now and you're struggling, though thy beginning was small, it's a prophetic word for some of you. You're trying to do something and you're struggling. It's a small start, but don't worry about it. The latter end of that thing will greatly increase. When the dew of heaven comes upon it, it will greatly increase. Let me give you this other scripture and then I'm going to wrap it up because I really want to pray and declare some things for some people. In the book of Job chapter 7 also, many a lot of insights in this book of Job. I love this one that says, you know, it talks about the scent of heaven, the scent of water, Job 14. I said Job chapter 7, I meant Job 14. You know, talks about the scent of water, even when things are bad. That's how it says in Job 14 and verse 7. It said, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. How? Well, we'll get to that in a second. And that the tender branch thereof will not completely die. Though the root of the tree wax old in the earth and the stalk die in the ground, you know, but yet through the scent of water or dew of heaven, you know, before it, you know, was raining upon the earth, God used to bring dew and mist. Now, when things are so bad that you can't even make ends to meet, look for the dew of heaven. It can change the situation. The scent of water or the dew of heaven upon a plant that is withering away can actually cause that plant to revitalize and come back to life. So also is the dew of heaven upon any situation can turn the infertile ground to a fertile ground, can turn the wilderness into a fruitful garden, can do all these things. And it can take what's already fruitful and turn it into something even great. It can take something that is little and cause it to increase greatly. It's called the favor of God, the dew of God packaged for you. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to reserve time for me to pray. So that's enough of this lesson. I have shared enough scriptures and enough exhortation to encourage you to believe God. But now I want to pray and make declaration over you and your children, over your life. You know, because we need this as we're going through. Everybody's going through right now. You know, so we need the understanding of the ordinances of heaven. Praise the Lord. And if the Lord grants us understanding like the children of Isaac, the Bible says they were men of understanding. And they knew the times and the seasons. Well, these are hard times. But there's a season of refreshing also during those hard times. In Psalm 102 verse 3 says, the time to favor God's people has come. It's in the midst of the, you know, difficult situation. That's when the favor of God will locate you. Glory to God. Now, it's not you looking for it. It's coming for you. What you got to do is look to keep your heart stayed on the Lord and follow his ways. And the grace and favor of God will locate you, the blessing of God coming for you, a dew of heaven's coming upon you, to bless the work of your hands and to change your story and your situation. Praise the Lord. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to believe God with me. I'm going to pray over the room. And we have shared the word of God to encourage you to believe. And, you know, this word is in my mouth. You know, now to proclaim the blessing. You say, well, the word of faith that we declare according to Romans 10. Say, look, you don't need to go look for Christ in the grave. He's no longer there. You don't have to go to heaven to go and say if you bring him down. Well, heaven is right here with you. So the word of God is in your mouth. I believe the word of God is in my mouth for you today. See, and that's a covering anointing. If you can receive it, see, you know, Lord has given me the grace to declare the word of God to you. And because you submit yourself to receiving that word, the Lord has also given me the grace to bless the house. Hallelujah. So I am going to bless every one of you today. And if you can receive it, you're going to believe God with me, and we're going to use the word of God to So I'm going to declare the blessing of God for every one of you. I'm going to declare for every one of you. And as you receive it, it's for you. Praise God. God never children. It may not look like increase right now, but it's coming because of the prophetic word that we will make for your children that are here today. And I thank you for it was constituted by God that they should be here at this time. It wasn't random. You chose them to be here. And even the ones that will listen later on, you chose them to be the ones that will listen. And I stand in the word of the Lord today. I stand in the message of the Lord. I declare some things over everyone that is here. All the things that we have declared from the word of God today, I declare that they come upon you and overtake you. The blessings of the Lord, especially in understanding, especially in inspiration, and especially in God giving you strategy, the power to get well, teaching your hands to profit. Even in this time, inspiration, while you are sleeping, God will seal the instruction in your heart. I pray, Lord, also, the Bible says, you know, you should ask. And God take care of your daily need. We don't need 1 year supply. So give us this day our daily, so that we can come to him every day, trust him for it. Now, Lord, for those that may be here, and even people that represent it across the country and around the world, that are struggling even to be able to take care of their daily needs, we declare the word of God unto you. My God, he said, shall supply your daily needs for your basket, and even your future need for your storehouse. The Lord will do it. Great, you know, to give glory and to give praise unto his name. Wherefore, I declare for every one of you that's in the room today, praise the Lord. The Lord loves you, and he chose you to be a recipient of his grace and of his favor. Favor will locate you. Not because you're chasing it. You're chasing the Lord. But on the other hand, his favor will locate you. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you because this your word has gone forth today to not return void. To accomplish the thing whereunto you send it, prosper in that which you please. I give you, Lord, the praise, and I give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and Amen.